husband and I, we were excited about starting a family. The day came, I'm pregnant. Then we go to the doctor again. And the doctor is like, okay, so you have names. And we're just chatting it up. And as she begins to check me, her face drops. And it just gets weird in the room, just quiet. And I said, is everything okay? And she says, I'm sorry, sweetheart. There's no longer a heartbeat. I'm feeling numb. I don't feel much of anything at this moment. I don't deserve this. I'm a good person. I do mission work. I serve the Lord in my church. I do all these things. I had a list.
Yeah.
And somehow I had nurtured the idea that I was too good for this type of a trial. That God owed me an easier situation, but not this. I don't deserve this type of a trial.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. Today we're going to be discussing a really sensitive and yet crucial topic, and we're going to be talking about miscarriages. Did you know that approximately 10 to 20% of known pregnancies actually end up in miscarriage? This is really just heart-wrenching. It's a horrible, painful experience, and it affects really a lot of people. An estimated over 1 million miscarriages occur annually just in the United States. The causes can be varied, often stemming from just chromosome abnormalities, maternal health conditions, environmental factors, stress, and so many other factors. And you know what? Just God's will in that situation, right? But for many, the journey through miscarriages can feel just isolating and just disheartening, grievous, overwhelming. However, amidst the pain, many can find solace in their faith. Research actually shows that women who engage in religious practices often cope better than with the emotional aftermath of a miscarriage. So their beliefs, such as in those of you that are Christians, right? That your belief can provide a sense of meaning and community support, and it can help you navigate through your grief. God's word helps us get through our grief, right? And today I am really honored to hear from Michelle Wilkins. She is a beautiful, I mean, inside and out beautiful. Wait till you see how beautiful this woman is. But she's multi-gifted, and she uses her talents to encourage people all around the globe. She's a recording artist. She's a prolific speaker. She's a devoted wife and a mother. Michelle originally hails from Frankfort, Kentucky, and from an early age, she traveled with her missionary father and Ghanaian mother, speaking and leading worship in various countries. And then after all that, she moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and she entered the Christian music arena, vocally supporting well-known artists like Don Moen, Matthew West, Toby Mac, and Mandisa. So you've probably heard her before. You just didn't know it. But Michelle graduated from Tennessee State University with a degree in political science and was crowned Miss TSU, later winning the national title of Miss National Black Hall of Fame. She also holds a master's degree in organizational leadership from the King's University Seminary in Southlake, Texas. And after navigating her own journey of miscarriages, you'll hear, she has dedicated herself to raising awareness about the emotional and the spiritual challenges that so many women face. And her story is just a testament to resilience and the power of hope, with the hope of the Lord guiding her. Michelle has turned her pain into purpose, inspiring others to find healing and strength. You will be blessed beyond blessed as you tune in today. Enjoy the show. Well, Michelle Wilkins, it is a delight to have you on the Visibly Fit podcast. How are you?
I am great. So happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, it is a joy. It is a pure joy. And, you know, we know each other through Christian Women in Media, but also through my bestie, Tracy Mitchell Hedge, at her conference, at her revival.
Yes.
She's incredible.
Yes, she is.
And so we've just been connected through so many different sisters in Christ. And so I just want to say again, thank you. And you have such an incredible story. I couldn't not share it, especially to my audience that is mainly female. And there's a lot of women that have been struggling. They're wanting so desperately to have a family. They've been trying to have children, but maybe like you have had several miscarriages, and they just don't know where to turn or how to operate. And so I just want to, first of all, hear your story, because you have, let's just hear your story, and then we'll just kind of trickle all the rest in. I have so much to share.
Sure. So it starts off with, you know, my husband and I, we were excited about starting a family. And, you know, the day came, I'm pregnant, and we go, and several weeks later, we go hear the heartbeat. It's a surreal moment. I can't believe there's a sweet, beautiful human being growing inside of me. So we allowed our imaginations to run wild. We are getting ready for the parties and the what colors and names. And so we're invested at this point. Like, we're just like, yes, thank you, Lord. And then we go to the doctor again, and the doctor is like, okay, so you have names, and we're just chatting it up. And as she begins to check me, her face drops, and it just gets weird in the room, just quiet. And I said, is everything okay? And she says, I'm sorry, sweetheart, there's no longer a heartbeat. And I literally didn't know how to process that moment. I heard what she said, but it just wasn't quite registering. And my husband, he literally collapses on my chest, and he begins to weep. And I'm feeling numb. I don't feel much of anything at this moment.
And kind of in shock, maybe.
I'm in shock, totally. Mm-hmm. And there was it's kind of strange to say this, but I'll just be 100% honest with you. And if you had told me I had a sense of entitlement with the Lord prior to this moment, I would have been like, I'm sorry, your discernment is off. I don't have a sense of entitlement. But in that moment, there was this thought that I don't deserve this. I'm a good person. I do mission work. I serve the Lord in my church. I do all these things. I had a list.
Yeah.
And somehow I had nurtured the idea that I was too good for this type of a trial. That God owed me an easier situation, but not this. I don't deserve this type of a trial.
Wow.
And it was such a stinking thinking moment. And I recognized it in that moment. And I was like, oh, Lord, it's much like a tea bag put in hot water. You don't get that bold flavor until all the stuff that's in it comes out, right?
Good, yeah.
And in that moment, I'm in a hot situation, right? A very painful situation. And I'm starting to see things coming out, thoughts that I never thought I had. And so I remember thinking, God, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. And I had to repent at that moment. Mm. That's what I did in that moment. I said, God, I'm sorry. I know it doesn't work that way. So we get in the car, and there's a song playing in the car, and it's called Count It All Joy. And I remember looking at those words, and they were irritating to me. I was like, who wrote that? Did they ever go through anything? What do you mean, count it all joy in the midst of trials and tribulations? Like, is that even possible, right? And I could not keep my eyes off of it. I just felt like it was an invitation from the Lord saying, do you want to find out? Do you want to find out? And it was a crossroads moment for me, honey, because I'm telling you, that pit was opening up for me. I could hear the accusations against the Lord.
Sure.
It was, how could he be a good father? Look what he allowed, right?
You had a choice in that moment.
Yep. And so I had to choose to really surrender all these emotions that were intense and that were accusing God of not being good. Is it my fault? Now there's shame trying to creep in. Was it what I ate? Did I work out too hard? Is it my fault? Right?
Sure.
So here comes all of that. And finally I say to myself, listen, I'm at the bottom. And I know that if I don't cling to the Lord in this moment, if I don't define who he is to me right now, then this could torment me. This question of where is he? How could he? Why did he? Is it my fault? That could last for months, if not years, if not decades.
That's the trap.
Mm-hmm. And so I had to define, who is he right now? Is he still worthy of praise and honor like he was before you walked into the hospital appointment? And so I had to say, and I didn't feel any of this, y'all. Let me just say that. And there's times where your emotions cannot dictate your direction. Amen. You cannot allow that, especially when they're so intense in the middle of a tragic moment, a moment of why. You have to say, I got to cling to the truth, whether I feel it or not. And so in that moment, I said, you are God. You love me. You have not left me. You are still worthy of praise and my adoration. I don't understand. I don't even like this, but you are my God and I'm not letting go of you.
Yes.
And so I started to hum. That's all I knew to do is just start to hum because I'm a worshiper and I know that that's when I pull God's face to my face. And so I began to hum a song turned in that hum turned into a song, turned into full blown worship. And next thing you know, my husband's like, are you, what are you doing? Basically, I was looking at him and I was like, I'm fighting for my life right now. I'm fighting for my peace of mind. And the only place I know to go, the safest place I know to lay all that I'm feeling right now is at the feet of the Lord. And there was a moment where the power of God came into our home. We got home and I continued to worship for hours. And by this time, I'm actually feeling his presence, right? Like I'm in it, okay? And I'm just laying it all down. And like I said, at first I didn't feel it, but then it says he's close to the brokenhearted. And I began to feel his presence. But there was a moment where the Lord came into my home so intensely that my husband, who was downstairs, comes running to the banister and he says, keep singing, baby, keep singing. The atmosphere in my house had shifted so dramatically. It was so intense. His holiness had walked into my house. Mm. I felt like I couldn't get low enough. I wanted to become one with the carpet fibers. He was holy. Yeah, he's holy. And I just put my face to the ground and I just began to worship him. I was lost in his presence in that moment. And in that moment, the Lord began to show me something. He showed me how the enemy likes to lock up women of God, lock up men of God. They'll keep going to church. They'll keep going to those women's Bible studies. They'll keep serving and volunteering. But in their hearts, that unanswered why has become a wall between them and the Lord. Yeah. And so we'd retreat into a place of self-protection and comfort zone, hoping in the Lord, and the enemy is hoping that we never come out of there. Why? Because he gets to steal our full-blown purpose, who we're going to become, who God intended for us to be and do in the earth. Because listen, it takes partnership. It takes faith to see all of that realized. But if you retreat into the safe Christian life, I'm not going to really use my faith for much, just in case God disappoints, that scary stuff that you just keeps you locked in, then the enemy has successfully stolen your God-given purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's after. It's not whatever broke your heart. He's after the fullness of what God intended in your life. And I got angry and I was like, okay, you're not going to break I'm not going to have a broken heart and grieve with the Lord. And you still my purpose and destiny in Christ and reach into my destiny. And perhaps I'll raise my children in fear and playing it safe. And so now they're also struggling to find the full identity and who God's called. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. And yeah, so.
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm just like, drop the mic, drop it again. Cause you're just like, you're just preaching and it's what you've lived. But I just think about the worship and the waiting and the worship and the crying out and being, when you say face to face with the Lord, I mean, that is kind of that highest vibration kind of place you can be is when you're worshiping, right? Even in the midst of trial and struggle and how it's so healing and therapeutic. And even when you began to hum, there is a physiological change within our body, right?
Yes.
So it's like you intuitively knew and the Holy Spirit gave you that grace and the knowledge to know to hum, to start to change the structure of your cellular makeup.
I had no idea.
Right.
I had no idea about any of this.
Exactly. That's how beautiful the Lord is. But I just think how incredible for you to be so obedient in something that didn't make sense in the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you are an incredible worshiper. I mean, you have worshiped and sang with Mandisa and Toby Mac and on your own tours, and you know how to worship. And to be in a place of like, this isn't just what I do. It's who I am and it's who you are. And this is what I do in this moment speaks such volume. And I know that's why God has you sharing this message, because we all have trials, whether it's a miscarriage with a child or a miscarriage with a business or a
failed
marriage or whatever the miscarriage is.
That's right.
Do we fall into that place, like you said, that pit? And that and start to question. And so I think that that's where I want to go right now to someone that might be listening. And then we want to get more into your story, but someone who might be listening that feels like they're closer to the pit than to the carpet. So close on their face and digging into the carpet.
That's good.
So just let's talk a little bit to that person who feels stuck and doesn't know how to be pulled away from the pit.
Yeah. So when you're going through a very painful time, there's only one of two things that will be elevated. It's either the lies of the enemy or the truth of God. You get to choose. You decide, right? And the first thing you do is you don't grab a hold of your emotions like a horse and you just hold on.
So many people do.
And another thing about that is they would actually have support. They would have people that would surround them and say, oh, you're human and I understand. And yes, I'm not diminishing the fact that this is painful. It is hard. The grieving can be overwhelming at times. And I'm not in any way diminishing that. All right. And nor am I saying that if you were going through a difficult time and you did not worship, I am in no way greater or better than you. God meets you right where you are. And he loves you just as much as he loves anybody else. All right. So I have to say that. But the reality is that when you're walking through this tough stuff, you've got to make some very vital decisions, because when God says you can have beauty for ashes, you know, people say, oh God, this just is so hard. Let me tell you something. Falling in that pit is hard and worshiping God is hard. All hard. Pick your hard. One, the decisions that you make in that hard will either lead you to a bitter soul, which opens the door for all kinds of issues, even physical ailments, right?
Oh, yes.
Or you can actually find out what it means to emerge from something that was meant to destroy you, wiser, stronger, more anointed, more empowering for other people who are going through the same thing, right? Exactly. Beauty for ashes. And so in that moment, as difficult as it was, I knew enough to know I'm clinging to the Lord, because the alternative, the depression, the anxiety, I can't celebrate another woman's pregnancy, right? I can't be happy for someone else's miracle. I didn't want any part of that. I wanted full-blown freedom.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't want the enemy to take advantage of my vulnerability in this moment, which he loves to do. He likes to hitchhike on the back of our grief. Ooh. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not giving you place here.
Right.
I'm not giving you place here. Is that easy? No, but we're not looking for easy. We're looking for truth.
Amen.
That's what we're looking for.
And God gave you truth. He gave you he gave you promise. And I know this because I know your story, but he gave you a promise. And so I think about, you know, when you hear from the Lord, cling to it. And that's what you and your husband did. You clung to the promise that he gave you. And so let's talk about that promise and how you clung to it.
So that moment that I talk about where I was overwhelmed by the presence of God, it felt like liquid love was just overflowing around me. It was like all the accusations, the voice of the enemy was far from that moment. I felt I was protected in his presence. While I was in that place, I can't explain it. All I know is I knew that I was going to have two children. The Lord made it very clear. It was just understood. I think he just let me have that. He just let me have that moment.
Sweet.
Because you get up from that moment and you're thinking, I'm going to contend for a baby. But no, I came out of that place. It was like, I'm having two kids, two. And so I feel like God gave me permission to contend for that promise. And so I clung to those words and I went out the next day and I bought two onesies and I put them in my closet. And I said, I can't wait to hold you. Oh, I can't wait to kiss your sweet faces. I can't wait to be your moms. We can't wait to hold you. And every day I would go in that closet, I would declare those words. I would declare my womb is healthy and well able to produce fruit. Yes. I would just speak over myself, speak life and life and life more abundantly. And what's so interesting is that God is so good. I was able to conceive nothing extra, just naturally I was able to conceive, and we had our first child. He was a wonderful pregnancy, my firstborn son. It was amazing. But here's the thing. After that, I had 5 more miscarriages, a total of 8.
Wow.
All right. So I had 3 before my first son, and then 5 before my second son.
Okay. And, real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm picturing the 8. I got all that, but I'm going back to the onesies. What color were the onesies?
So I had a blue and a yellow.
Okay. All right. So, so kind of neutral, but yet boy, right?
That's right. I had a blue and a yellow, and I was like, okay, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I had no idea. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Right. So you had 8 miscarriages. And so some people maybe have gone through one, and that's tragic and awful. Absolutely. And you wouldn't wish that on anybody, but to go through 8 and to still hang on to the promise and cling to it and know that you know that you know, and to keep going forward. How did you have the faith? How did you have the strength to keep pressing in and saying, I'm going to cling to it. You promised, Lord. So I'm just curious how that played out. And you and your husband.
Yeah. So I used to eat the word of God. I used to look for those stories where people exercise their faith, and the scripture says Jesus marveled at them. Mm. I wanted the Lord to marvel at my faith. I wanted him to be like, wow. I loved it when the centurion came and he looks at Israel and is like, wow, I haven't seen such faith. And he was literally told, your daughter's gone. Just leave it alone. But yet he was just like, let's keep moving. Let's steal. I'll believe for the impossible. Or the people who came to the house and it was packed and they didn't say, well, we can't get there. They were like, let's get on the roof.
Let them down.
You know?
Yes.
Let them down. Like all these people, the woman who, with the issue of blood, she wouldn't even be around people.
Just the reach.
And I just decided that this was going to be what was going to be reality for us.
I want to pause for a minute, Michelle, because you have said several words. I've decided.
Yes.
I chose.
That's right.
And so I'm thinking about the impact and the power of that, and how we do have more control than we realize, if you will, with the level of our faith. And when we choose and when we decide, then we can be all in with the way our mind is thinking, the way our bodies are preparing. Your womb was being prepared for this next child, even though there were miscarriages in between. The womb was still being prepared because of you choosing and deciding and taking care of yourself, knowing. So anyway, I just think that's so beautiful. So with all these emotions going on, how was there any kind of strain on your marriage?
There wasn't.
Oh, good. Okay.
There wasn't. Yeah. That was a blessing of the Lord. Like we were in sync up until the very last miscarriage. And my husband was like, and I saw him get weary. I hadn't seen it before. I hadn't seen it up until that moment. Mm. And he was like, maybe we should stop. Because we had people, family members saying, y'all, you have one, that's good enough. And I was like, no, but the Lord said too. And so now I'm looking crazy, right? I'm looking like, okay, maybe you were wrong. It's okay. Maybe he meant adoption. People, well-meaning people, right?
Sure.
And some people say the darndest things when they're attempting to help, right?
Yes.
So you've got to be a well-oiled machine of forgiveness when you go through something like this.
Right.
All right. Because that too can be a tool by which the enemy uses to lock you up.
Sure.
You've got to forgive and stay free. And so when I say I chose and we decided, I could not stand on that foundation if I had not yet first distinguished who God was in my life in that moment from the very beginning. Yeah. Because if that's faulty, then you can't decide and stand on anything.
Right.
God is good. I am his daughter. He loves me. He has not left me. His word is true. I'm well able. Like, those are foundational building blocks that you've got to cling to. And so, and I just says, if I'm wrong, okay, if I'm wrong, the Lord will escort me through the grief or the heartache of that and help me come to a place where I'm going to be okay. But if I'm right, like, I had to know.
Yeah.
I had to know. And so I was going to go all out looking crazy, sounding crazy, whatever it took. I was going to believe what I believed I heard from the Lord.
Yeah. You don't want to miss out on the promises because you're weary.
That's right.
And I think that that happens way too often. Again, whether it's a pregnancy or a business or whatever calling God has on your life, sometimes it's just people get weary, so they give up. And I think of this, it's kind of a little cartoon thing I've seen before, but it's like two guys and they're like got a pick and they're picking, trying
yes.
to get to gold, right?
Yes.
And the one guy is like so close and he's like, ugh, and he turns back or whatever. And he was so close to the gold. He was right there. And so I think just because people are weary, they stop and they miss out on the blessing, the promises. And again,
yes.
you know, God's will is God's will, but we have a part to play in it, right?
Yeah. So remember when he says, when you get weary, he gives instructions on
yes,
what to
he
do
does.
When you get weary.
Right.
He didn't say give up.
Mm.
He says, come, come to me.
Yes.
I will make an exchange with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll make an exchange. And that will empower you to get up and go forward. Like, fight the good fight of faith. And sometimes indeed it is a fight. Don't get
yes.
weary in well-doing. Mm. God's word is true.
That's so good. That's so good. Well, how old are your sons now?
Okay. So after the fifth miscarriage, when my husband was getting weary, he finally, you know, I went to my closet and began to pray because I realized I couldn't be the one to convince him.
Yes.
So I said, Holy Spirit, you talk to my husband.
Yeah.
You speak to him. Mm. And 2 weeks later, my husband was like, you know what? I think it's time for us to try again. And that was when I had my second born. So he's 4 now and my firstborn is 8.
Wow. And what fun yeah. ages. And
they're
I love
funner.
Yeah, right? Lots of energy, I'm sure.
Loud, yes.
Yeah, lots of testosterone. But
yes.
I just think about how sweet the Lord is to, you know, answer your prayer, to send the Holy Spirit to speak to your husband, because sometimes it's not us that's weary, but it's our spouse or it's
that's
somewhat
right.
a business partner. It's whatever. And it's like, wow, we just need to be on the same page here and
that's
not
right.
forget the promises and not forget that God is able.
That's
and
right.
so, anyway, I just love your story. I love that you are, constantly pointing back your story to the Lord because it is ultimately his story.
Absolutely.
But he knew he would get the glory in your story.
Mm.
And that's why he's got you sharing everywhere because it is so impactful and powerful. And if people could just really find hope and see that if Michelle can get through this, then so can I. And
yes.
so I think that that's so great. In what ways have you been able to really find meaning in those losses, because one day you're going to meet those precious babies, right?
What a wonderful day.
Right, right. And so I'm just curious about the meaning that you've found, even though you have gained exactly the promises, what about the meaning in the losses along the way?
You know, the treasure that I found in this dark place was the Lord.
Mm.
Not necessarily the babies.
Yeah.
But the Lord.
Yes.
Because you remember when Job said, listen, I've heard about you, but after all that I've gone through, I now have seen you.
Yeah.
I now know you. My faith, our faith, my husband and I, our faith in God just increased in ways because I got to see him be my rescuer. I got to see him fill me with peace. Right when I would call out to him, when I would wake up that day and it felt like the darkness was suffocating me. It was a spirit of darkness that was trying to get me to doubt the Lord after I just heard of yet another miscarriage.
Mm.
Maybe you should give up. Maybe God isn't, you didn't hear right. Maybe God didn't say it. And I would say, God, grab a hold of me. Just grab a hold of me, Lord. And I would begin to worship and I would feel that presence lift. And I was like, wow. God, your power is real. See, I didn't know that when I was on a mountaintop and everything was great and I'm touring, I'm doing all this wonderful stuff.
Oh, come on.
But it was in my darkest moments when I needed him and he showed up and did some supernatural work in my heart. Oh, I know him. I know that he's true. I know that he's real. Like I love him more than I did before all of this happened. Like he is a treasure hidden in dark places if we look for him. And it just made all the difference to me.
So true. And so now whether mountaintop or valley low, you're on high, right?
He is with me. Yes. He's with me. So I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. So it makes you understand more the count it all as joy, because he is the joy that's your strength. And so I'm just so inspired by you, and I just love your heart for the Lord, and it makes me want to weep, actually, which is really sweet. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. And so I thank you for how he is just so manifested in your life that it's manifesting in others. So hallelujah. Thank you. So thank you for being on this podcast. You're such a blessing, such a gift to this world.
Thank you.
Your voice is, I wish I could sing like that. Oh my goodness. But I mean, in the shower and in my car, I do. I'm just saying. But
and he loves it. He loves it.
But thank you for having such a beautiful gift and sharing it with the world, because you do have a beautiful song, a singing voice, and what a gift. And thank you for sharing your heart with so many. So as we close out, would you please pray for those that are listening that might be struggling with their own miscarriage in whatever capacity that might be?
Yes. Father, you're incredible. There aren't words to just properly describe how incredible you are. And I know that in some of the most difficult circumstances that we face, we can get a little shaky, and that's okay, that you're not angry about that at all. What I'm asking for you to do, those who feel stuck or those who are really having a difficult time, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would grab a hold of them. Yes. Grab a hold of them. And every lie the enemy is attempting to plant in this season, I ask by the Holy Spirit that you would uproot it and pluck it out and burn it out by the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I ask, God, that they would cling to your truth, because that's where life is going to be springing forth from. I pray, God, that you would surround them with your power, with your truth, with your love. I pray that every wondering thought that you may or may not be good, you may or may not be there, you may not or may not see them or hear them, God, I pray that it would be undeniable, God, that you indeed hear and see and love and surround. God, I pray that you can do what no one else can do, that you would release your peace that's almost tangible in their heart. That doesn't make any sense, but yet it's there. I thank you, Father God, for healing. I ask for emotional healing, physical healing. Mm-hmm. I ask for psychological healing. I ask for emotional healing. I just thank you, Lord, that you cover their soul in your truth and in your power, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for hope. You infuse them with hope and joy that brings strength. God, you're amazing. Show them who you are in this moment. Show them your glory. Show them your glory in this moment, that they will emerge ready to show that glory to the world. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, we love you and we thank you. You're so wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, that's beautiful, Michelle. Oh, you're just such a sweetheart. Oh, my goodness. Well, wow. Thank you. I know you guys that are listening have been blessed today. And I want you to go and look for Michelle on her socials. And what is your website so we can drive people there? And you've got something new that you want to share. So I want you to share about that too.
Sure. Real quick. MyShowWilkins.com. I'd love meeting new people. Come on there and see all the things that God has been giving me the opportunity to do. And then I have a brand new devotional, 40-day devotional for women. And it's on Walmart.com, Barnes and Noble, and Amazon as well. And I'm also on the YouVersion Bible app. So we have like 7 days of a sneak peek of the devotional. And the last thing is I'm putting together a worship record that will be released next year.
Yay.
And so a lot of the worship that came forth through these very difficult times, the Lord's going to allow me to release them into the earth. We are excited about that.
You should be. They're going to be so powerful. I cannot wait to hear it and to promote that as well. And the name of your 40-day devotional?
Yes, Arise, Shine, and Conquer.
Yes, I love it. Rise, shine, and conquer. All right, good. Go to MichelleWilkins.com, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. So God bless you, sister. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much. God bless you as well. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.